As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri. It's time once again for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Memorial Day, Monday, May the 25th, 2009, to our broadcast to become vocal local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions, hopefully, for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. And interactive talk radio is the name of the game. And to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room. We'll pick up the phone throughout the broadcast and call in for those with long distance. Unlimited long distance in the Austin, Texas area. You may call 512-904-8014 and join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call toll free at 866-841-1065. And of course, your calls are welcome. And you also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me by email. Got some really good email over the weekend. Certainly did. Enjoyed responding to some of the ones that were even penetrating, piercing, and very interesting. Anyway, you can send your ideas for me at host@vocallocal.org, and I enjoy getting them. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96. Exeter Mo, the big Mo to me, 65-64-647. Hey, a big shout-out to Liberty Radio in Owensville, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you all. Thank you so much for broadcasting. Become a vocal local. Again, our website's vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number is 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. Gold remains today strong above the $950 mark near the London price fix. We'll talk about that. Very spotty news today as the futures market is closed. And we'll go into some other news articles as well. Then we'll go into our main talk on the history of world civilizations. We'll touch with the Phoenicians, the Greeks, and then I want to spend a little time on the French Revolution. But, of course, we'll take your calls and much more. Before we go there, let's go here. Go back to the news for New York City trading as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday, May the 25th, 2009. Gold was trading off $1.20 at $955.30. $955.30. It's not bad. That's not bad. Right now at $955.30 is up $31.10 year on year from where we were 1 year ago for a 3.37%. return on your investment. Silver off 2 cents, trading at $14.67. Platinum off $4, $1,149. Palladium up a dollar, down a dollar, up a dollar. Well, today it's up a dollar at $234 an ounce. The lows and highs so far in this morning's gold spot market, 951.50, and the for a low, and 957.20 for a high. So we're looking at about $6. Everybody seems to be asleep. And, of course, if the markets are closed and everything's quiet on Wall Street and everybody's out of Washington, D.C., then yippee, what a day to celebrate. It is indeed. Again, the futures markets are closed, so that's the end of that. Let's go into a little bit of news just briefly. There was a huge robbery at the Mumbai airport. 145 kilograms of gold and silver were looted at gunpoint, you know, as they often say. Gold is just one of those things, you know, that people die for. Well, somebody almost got killed today, but not quite. Hey, we'll be right back.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, we're back once again right here on our Monday, Memorial Day, May the 25th, live 2009, 2 hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, getting started right here in the news. We went through the stock market, so we didn't go to the stock markets because the futures markets are all closed in New York, but we looked at the gold and we see that it's trading at 955.30. The silver is 1465. Platinum is 1,149 and palladium 234. So that's that for that kind of news. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are having holidays today and enjoying things. It's wet and rainy and overcast here in southwest Missouri, kind of moist and calm and quiet. And all of my neighbors' dogs are tucked away in their little dog houses, and so we don't have to listen to them barking in the background. How nice. Let me just take a little time here this morning and go through some news and a little bit of history and have a nice, calm morning together while everybody else is rushing around enjoying the Merchant Man's holy days and remembrance of things gone by. Robbers struck at the Mumbai airport on Monday around 11:30 a.m. This is off of Business Standard out of New Delhi, India. Looting of 140 kilograms, as kilogram is 2.2 pounds, by the way, 145 kilograms of gold and silver coins from the airport's cargo terminal. Buddy, oh boy. One security guard was injured, and reports the Press Trust of India. In a statement, Air India said that around 11:30 a.m. this morning, three or four armed intruders entered the Air India cargo booking area at Mumbai Airport. At this time, officials of Pidilite Industries were in the process of booking six parcels of gold and silver coins weighing 140 kilograms. After booking these parcels, these were taken for security screening. While two parcels were being screened, four men with loaded guns came in a car, threatened the staff, overpowered the security, and fled away with four parcels. The security guard, Mr. M.S. Bussell, who was injured, has been taken to the hospital, and police are investigating the incident. Well, so there you go. Once again, lots of ways to get rich in this world. Stealing gold is one of them, and somebody has booted 145 kilograms of gold and silver. Here's another one, another way of getting rich, I guess. You can just steal from the people to support private industry. This off of Bloomberg by Rainier Bjurgren. Opel decision to do is middle of the week, Wilhelm says. Chancellor Angela Merkel's government aims to make a decision on a preferred bidder for General Motor Corporation's Opel unit in Germany by, quote-unquote, the middle of the week, said Ulrich Wilhelm. Chief spokesman. Merkel spoke by telephone with Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin on May the 23rd and met yesterday with Magna International Inc., co-chief executive officer Siegfried Wolf, and chairman Frank Stronach. Wilhelm told the reporters in Berlin today Merkel will meet with Fiat SPA chairman Sergio Marchionne in the first half of the week, he said. We'll continue to hold intensive talks between the federal government and the four states with production facilities, company representatives, and the U.S. said. Wilhelm said during a regular government press briefing, we made good progress in the past few days on finding a suitable investor. I guess it's not just roundabout here. It's roundabout over there, too. Everybody seems to be privatizing the auto industry. We'll see more about that. Continuing here, Opel, based in Rüsselsheim near Frankfurt, that would probably be Frankfurt on Main, that's the old stronghold of the Rothschilds, has said it needs about 3.3 billion euros or 4.6 billion U.S. in state aid to survive. Gosh, I could use a couple of billion in state aid. Wouldn't that be sweet? You take all the Oracle listeners and all of our sponsors, and we could all just go someplace wonderful and spend about a year on vacation. Continuing here, Wilhelm said there's a movement in the positions of potential investors in Opel. Daniel Witzani, a Magna spokesman in Oberswalserdorf, Austria, said talks with GM and the German government continue. A Fiat spokesman had no comment, I guess. Fiat spokesman is no spokesman at all, just a piece of paper. Counterproductive, Merkel's coalition facing September the 27th national elections is at odds as over to how to save Opel's 25,000 workers in Germany. Gutenberg, a member of Merkel's bloc, said yesterday that an orderly insolvency for Opel may be the preferred option. An orderly insolvency, I guess that's opposed to a bank run or a run for the door. Gutenberg, no relation to the inventor of the press, or he could be, who is leading efforts to find a viable bid for Opel, was criticized by Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier, Merkel's social democratic challenger at the election. There's those social democratics, and then there's the Christian democratic socialists, and then there's the social Christian democrats. Ah, what a mess. And the union leader, Klaus Franz, who called the comments counterproductive, well, blah, blah, blah. It's more worthwhile to talk about how we can make progress than discussing what we'll do in case of a failure. Jens Plutner, a spokesman for Steinmeier's foreign ministry, told reporters today, well, I'll let it go. Opel and Opel. Have you driven your Opel lately? Bear Stearns to Algebra 1 means lost dollars in trickle-down. What is all this about? Off of Bloomberg also, Peter Robinson writes this for May the 22nd. This would be Friday's article. After former Bear Stearns company's trader Guy Irace, capital I-R-A-C-E, Iris, lost his job on the bond desk a year ago. He moved back to Long Island to teach high school math and dropped 40 pounds. I don't know where he dropped his 40 pounds, but I'm sure he dropped them somewhere near his desk. Jack Yang's deli in Manhattan cut 3 employees. Oh, it's big news, isn't it? So there was not much news out there this morning. That's good. Everybody's on vacation. Maybe we can breathe easily today. Let's go into this article a little bit. It's rather interesting. It seems to be typical, though. Cavenbury's, Yang's 46th Street shop near the headquarters of New York's firm taken over by J.P. Morgan and Chase, once bustled with finance workers jostling to buy a barbecue chicken chop salad and bottle of water for $12. They used to be turning them away at the door, Ira said. Jack Yang's deli in Manhattan. And what does he call his deli in Manhattan? Cavenbury's, run by Jack Yang. Great. Last week, slow enough that one cashier, instead of the usual two, operated the register at midday, Yang tallied up the ripple effect of the financial slump that cost Bear Stearns its independence. He negotiated a $4,000 monthly decrease in rent. $4,000 a month decrease in rent for a deli, but that's just the decrease in rent with Sierra Realty Company to $17,000. So now he's only spending $17,000 a month for his shop space, my friends, and is spending 35% less per week with Fisher Foods of New York, Inc. for such things as artichokes and hams. Hey, the plot thickens. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations. More secretive than the Bilderberg Group. The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgageproductexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
And we're back again here on Become Vocal Local. Going into this article off Bloomberg, you know, it's really hard for me, and I guess I shouldn't be so cold-hearted, but it's really hard for me to have a lot of empathy with these Wall Street fellows and folks. Even New York City itself, I've been there, was up there in 1976, celebrating 1776 to 1976, watching the tall ships sail into the East River and the fireworks display for the 4th of July off of Liberty Island, or I guess it was a barge that they had out close by there. What a madhouse that was. About 13 million people in New York City that day. Over, I think they say, 8 million people came through the New Jersey Turnpike, came down through the tunnels and into the city, and it was bedlam and bedlam for sure. Anyway, having seen that space, I don't have a lot of empathy for the situation, but no matter where you are in America, folks, the financial downturn is hitting everybody, and it's not sparing those high-minded folk up in New York. Let's see how it's affecting them. Last week, again, we're talking about Jack Yang's Deli in Manhattan. Last week, slow enough that one cashier, instead of the usual two, operated the registers at midday. Yang tallied up the ripple effect of the financial slump that cost Bear Stearns its independence. Again, he negotiated a $4,000 a month decrease in rent, down to $17,000 a month. He's spending 35% less a week with Fisher Foods of New York, Inc. for such things as artichokes and ham. And here's a quote. Since January, everything's dead, said Yang, who's 52 years old. The biggest Wall Street crisis since the Great Depression isn't just a setback for New York or bankers. The finance industry's contraction may wipe out $185 billion in wages and profits, or $600 for every man, woman, and child in the U.S., according to Thomas Philippon, a finance professor at NYU's Stern School of Business. The trail of reduced income affects car mechanics, waiters, sports teams, hairstylists, jewelers, house cleaners, and watch repair shops. Yes, you didn't have to wait for some professor of finance at New York University Stern School of Business to tell you that. I've been saying it for some time. The largest absolute drop? Here's some more. Quote, we're seeing lots of lives derailed, close quote, said Simone Johnson, or Simon, I guess, professor of entrepreneurship at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Well, it seems to be that all of the Ivy Leaguers are catching on. iRace, back to iRace again, a former Bear Stearns trader, Gary iRace. No, it's Guy iRace. Guy, who worked at Bear Stearns for 19 years and is now a teacher in Uniondale, New York. He's one of 255,441 people who've lost U.S. finance jobs since January of 2008. According to data compiled by Bloomberg, thousands more have seen cutbacks in pay. Let's listen to his story. In New York City alone, bonuses fell to $18.4 billion last year from $32.9 billion in 2007, the largest absolute drop ever, according to the state comptroller's office. The consumer discretionary and industrial sectors, dependent on people who buy refrigerators, restaurant meals, or cars, are the only areas that have shrunk more than finance, with 383,340 and 270,278 job losses, according to the data. For each finance post eliminated, 3.3 in other industries will vanish, the comptroller's office estimated. The higher your income, the more in services you consume. Get your handkerchiefs out, folks. We're going to have to start wringing our hankies over these high-income folks that are getting a dose of reality, said Ariel Reshef, an economics professor at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. Boy, aren't we just right into the professors this morning. You don't iron your own shirts, close quote, he said. Here's a pound of ham. On the convertible bond desk at Bear Stearns, traders made from $175,000 to $1 million a year. Depending on bonuses, Irace, this is Guy Irace, said he dined with coworkers at Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse, home of the $55.95 porterhouse steak. Now he earns $75 to $175 a day at Kellenberg Memorial High School and often brings a packed lunch from home. Isn't that sad? Here's his quote. You buy a pound of ham and you've got sandwiches for a whole week, said Irace, 44 years old. Well, yeah, Guy. Other banking refugees are navigating new lifestyles. Peter Stravopoulos, a one-time hedge fund strategist, said he handles drunk driving cases as a lawyer in upstate New York. Amy DiPaolo, a facilities manager at a New York bond firm for 14 years, may retrain as a paralegal after losing a job paying $100,000 annually. Michael Gabriel, a former money market fund manager for Victory Capital Management in Cleveland, said he's applied for 100 jobs since his position was eliminated in 2007. Obviously, he's still unemployed. Lots of underwear? All are cutting back with consequences for those who depended on banks' outsized pay. The average securities industry salary reached a record high of almost $400,000 in 2007, or 6.8 times the average for non-financial jobs in the city, according to the comptroller's office. Gabriel started cutting his own lawn, costing his gardener $450 a year, he said. DiPaolo used to splurge on gifts for her nephew, spending $1,000 at Christmas. This past year, the 22-year-old got lots of underwear, she said. Stravopoulos, whose father George was a clothing designer who made dresses for opera singer Maria Callas, got a dual degree in law and business and worked for almost a decade as a credit analyst at firms including Standard & Poor's. He joined the Stamford, Connecticut hedge fund Sailfish Capital Partners LLC in 2006. He left in 2008 as the firm wound down funds. Now his office looks out over a supermarket's rooftop in Millertown, a town of about 925 people, 100 miles north of Manhattan. $125 haircut? Earning less, the attorney stopped buying a daily venti black iced tea, unsweetened, from Starbucks Corp., which said January 28th it'll cut 6,700 jobs this year. He goes less often to Procter & Gamble's Frederick Vicai Salon in Greenwich, Connecticut, where haircuts start at $125. Haircuts start at $125. Haircuts start at $125. I'm telling you, stupid is a stupid does, folks. His wife's cousin in Queens now trims it for him. Here's another quote. I used to take $300 for the week. That was just walking around money, he said. Now I take $100 for the week. Forget about ordering sushi for lunch, close quote. Stravopoulos remembers accompanying 16 people in mid-2007 to Morimoto, the West Village sushi restaurant of Masahura Morimoto, from the quote-unquote Iron Chef television program. The group spent more than $3,200, he said, then headed to the Buddha Bar, where patrons rub shoulders in a high-ceiling space resembling an Asian temple. Many nights, financial types crowded the tables where bottle service starts at $250 for a Veuve Clicquot Brut Rose 2000 champagne, said Jessica Rose, a waitress at the time. Hear Jessica's story. Falling tips. It wasn't uncommon to see someone with a Black American Express card come. Oh, well. We'll pick that one up on the other side and find out about the tips of this insanity. We'll be right back.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right, we're back again. We're off to New York City for some more of this insanity. Here we find this restaurant, I guess. I don't know what it was. I'll just say it again the way they have it written. Many nights, financial types crowded the tables where bottle service starts at $250 for a Veuve Clicquot Brut Rose 2000 Champagne, said Jessica Rose, a waitress at the time. It wasn't uncommon to see someone with a Black American Express company card ringing up a $30,000 tab, said Tim Gaglio, who helped start the restaurant and bar in 2006. The Black quote-unquote Centurion card, billed as the world's rarest, is available by invitation only, according to the company's website. At the peak, Rosa said she made $85,000 a year working 3 days. This is a waitress, folks. Quote, "You wouldn't see an empty chair here," she said, surveying the half-filled lounge last week. As tips fell, Rosa stopped taking frequent trips to Miami, where she ate at the Prime 112 Steakhouse on Ocean Drive, and to Puerto Rico, where she stayed at the Palmas del Mar Resort. Poor Rosa. Buddha's Bar, Gaglio, said he's planning for sales of $12 million this year, after they reached 20 million in 2007. This guy runs a bar. When the restaurant was one of the country's highest grossing, he added cheaper wines like a J. Lohr Chardonnay for $11 by the glass. And his squeezing fish vendor F. Razzo and Sons and beef seller John Juggaby for pennies per pound. He asked employees to work harder, and he said he terminated 3 last week. The plot thickens. Periods of excess. Quote, for such a long time, it was such enormous volume that people got very complacent and spoiled, he said. Close quote. The pullback may prove worthwhile in the long run by directing the economy to move to more productive areas, said the University of Virginia's Reshef. Wall Street compensation may have been as much as 50% too high from 1995 to 2006. According to his December 2008 survey with NYU's Philip on the U.S. finance industry over the past century, the other period of excess pay was around 1930, the year after the stock market crashed. Quote, what happened here is a misallocation of capital on a gigantic scale, Reshef said. Eventually, people will replace lost income as they retrain, gain new schools, move, and find jobs, which may take as long as 10 years, said Johnson, the Cambridge, Massachusetts-based economist. Little League. An economy like the United States has the ability to create new jobs, and it has a bounce-back ability that we shouldn't discount, he said. iRace, again, back to Guy, iRace, displaced Wall Streeter. Quote, iRace, who enjoyed coaching Little League baseball as a teenager on Long Island, said he considered a career as a coach or an athletic director when he graduated in finance from Fairfield University in Fairfield, Connecticut. Instead, he found a job at Solomon Brothers with the help of a roommate's father, a managing director. Two years later, he moved to Bear. After iRace got his termination papers in June from J.P. Morgan Chase, he called Brother Kenneth Hoagland, the principal at Kellenberg, a private Catholic institution taught iRace at Chaminade High School in Mineola, New York. Hoagland called iRace in for an interview in August when he needed a replacement for a math instructor on leave. A month later, the former trader was teaching quadratic equations and factoring to freshmen in 5 40-minute periods of algebra a day. Now listen to this. He enrolled in a refresher math class at Nassau Community College, sometimes learning subjects a day or two ahead of the kids. I call them children. This semester, he's teaching sixth graders measurements and percentages. How many teachers out there are qualified to teach mathematics to young people? Teachers with perhaps decades of experience. And this carpet-bagging gladhander slides in on a recommendation. He's going to the local community college, and he's learning the material that he's going to teach the next day. I'd take my children out of the school if I had heads up on that. I can tell you that for sure. That's the kind of a educator that helps to destroy the minds of children. They have no clue of what they're talking about. Can't explain anything beyond just what they see on the face of the textbook. Dropping down a little bit further here, seated at wooden desk, 21 to 39 in each class, they get excited when he flashes the animated math adventures of a robot named Moby onto a classroom projector. After school, iRace, now 198 pounds, he's lost 40 pounds, by the way. Must have been a real beefer. Put a whistle on, a yellow cord around his neck, and runs girls through conditioning drills as an assistant coach for the lacrosse team. Catholic school. Wall Street trader. Blowing his whistle and running the girls through conditioning drills. My. The extra coaching stipend runs $1,000 to $2,000 for the season. iRace used to spend about as much in Manhattan every month when he had an apartment in Gramercy Park, and coworkers joked that he attended more New York Knicks games than Jeff Van Gundy, the National Basketball Association team's former coach. This week he stayed home and graded papers, single. With his three-bedroom colonial-style house in Oyster Bay, Long Island, paid off, Irace got what he called a very generous severance from J.P. Morgan that runs out in September. His teaching job ends in June, with no guarantee of a job in the fall. He plans to look into unemployment benefits. Irace tells Wall Street Friends he won't be back, though. Things don't always work out this way, he said, recalling what one teacher told him when he got a Collinberg job. This is probably your true calling. Well, son, this is a calling, and we call you out. Get out of that school. Quit pilfering the children's education with your ignorance. I do say this one more time, though, however. Well, let's not do that yet. Let's leave that be. Let's go back to our main study. You know, we've been talking about world civilizations. I've been working out of this book. It's a university textbook on Western civilizations. Edward McNall Burns wrote it back, last copyrighted in 1963. We went through a pretty lengthy study to try and find out a little bit more about anarchy and anarchism. But I don't want to just set this book aside now that we've fairly well covered that topic, because there's so much more in here. I've almost completed the book. I spent most of the weekend reading it, going back and rereading certain segments of it. But there's 1,000 pages and almost 1,100 in this textbook. And as I mentioned last week, I was able to get the teacher's manual, the instructor's manual off of Alibri Books, and have a chance to go through that. And it's a shame that we don't have this kind of material. I don't know whether it's a shame or not, because I haven't got a 2009 history, university-level history or world civilizations book to compare it with. But this particular author, and it was a series of authors apparently, I do have some of the other names, but this is credited to Edward McNall Burns. This particular author had an incredible understanding of history. And he also has a really good handle on philosophy and economics to go with it. And so I like the way that he's presenting this material, because he's got about four or five different threads, and he's running it along parallel through all of the various civilizations. And so we had gotten all the way up through the Aegean civilization, and now we have a little bit more to close out here. The Lydians and the Phoenicians, very interesting people. Just a short section here. But remember, we talked about the Hittites. They're the ones that started mining and extracting steel, or iron, I should say, not steel, iron. There's a difference. And so they helped to take us from the Bronze Age into the Iron Age, these Hittites. These are those ones that are the hook-nosed people that the cartoonists portray as Jews, but they're Hittites, actually. Even their own artwork depicted them as these real, you know, they had proboscis, they had nose. Let me tell you, they had lots of nose, and then their artwork, they were proud of it, and they augmented or featured that in their artwork. But these are those hook-nose ones that are often called hook-nosed Jews. Well, they come, I think they're Hittites. But we leave the Hittites here, and we go into the Lydians and the Phoenicians. When the Hittite Empire fell in the 8th century B.C., its successor in its main areas of power was the Kingdom of Lydia. That's where we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. Be right back.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website, again, is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
All right, we're back once again. We're looking into this idea of the Lydians and the Phoenicians just quickly and briefly. Kind of close out that particular chapter of history. It was the last one in the section that we didn't get to before. Again, when the Hittite Empire fell in the 8th century BC, its successor in its main areas of power was the Kingdom of Lydia. The Lydians established their rule in what is now the territory of the Turkish Republic in Anatolia. They quickly secured control of the Greek cities on the coast of Asia Minor and of the entire plateau west of the Halys River. Interesting terrain in there, by the way. And look up the Halys River on your in your atlases. But their power was short-lived. In 550 BC, their fabulous king Croesus fancied he saw a good opportunity to add to his domain the territory of the Medes, east of the Halys. The Median king had just been deposed by Cyrus the Persian. You know, these aren't fairy tales. This is history. I'm talking about fairy tales here. The ignorance and the arrogance of the Americans and many of the moderns to think that we're the cat's pajamas and that we're the first people that ever had any kind of success on this planet is pathetic. Again, the Median king had just been deposed by Cyrus the Persian. Thinking this meant an easy triumph for his own armies, Croesus set out to capture the territory beyond the river. After an indecisive battle with Cyrus, he returned to his own capital, which was Sardis, for reinforcements. Here, Cyrus caught him unprepared in a surprise attack and captured and burned the city. The Lydians never recovered from the blow, and soon afterward, all of their territory, including the Greek cities on the coast, passed under the dominion of Cyrus the Great. It's like just taking the corner, picking up the corner of your Etch-a-Sketch board. Remember when we were children, we had these little cardboard boards, and they had the gray kind of material behind this piece of cellophane, and you could draw on it with a little stylus, and then when you got done with your picture, you could just pick up a corner and etch a sketch and pull it all away. Continuing here, the Lydians never recovered from the blow, and soon afterward, all their territory, including the Greek cities on the coast, passed under the dominion of Cyrus the Great. The Lydians were a people of Indo-European speech, who were probably a mixture of native peoples of Asia Minor with migrant stocks from Eastern Europe, benefiting from the advantages of favorable location and an abundance of resources. They enjoyed one of the highest standards of living of ancient times. And how many people could even tell you who the Lydians were? Or how few, I might say. They were famous for the splendor of their armored chariots and the quantities of gold and articles of luxury possessed by the citizens. The wealth of their kings was legendary, notice multiple, as attested by the simile, rich as Croesus. The chief sources of this prosperity were gold from the streams, wool from the thousands of sheep on the hills, and the profits of extensive commerce which passed overland from the Tigris-Euphrates Valley to the Aegean Sea. But with all their wealth and opportunities for leisure, they succeeded in making only one original contribution to civilization. And this was the coinage of money from electrum, or quote-unquote, white gold, a natural mixture of gold and silver found in the sands of one of their rivers. Hitherto, all systems of money had consisted of weighed rings or bars of metal. The new coins of varying sizes were stamped with a definite value more or less arbitrarily given them by the ruler who issued them. You want to know who gave us our gold and silver coins with the stamped values defined more or less arbitrarily by the given rulers who issued them? We can look back to the Lydians in around 550 BC. In contrast with the Lydians, who gained their ascendancy as a result of the downfall of the Hittites, were the Phoenicians, also very interesting people, who benefited from the breakup of the Aegean supremacy. But the Phoenicians were neither conquerors nor the builders of an empire. They exerted their influence through the arts of peace, especially through commerce. During most of their history, their political system was a loose confederation of city-states, which frequently brought their security by paying tribute to foreign powers. The territory they occupied was the narrow strip between the Lebanon Mountains and the Mediterranean Sea. With good harbors and a central location, it was admirably situated for trade. The great centers of commerce included Tyre, you say Hiram Abiff, Sidon, and Beirut. Under the leadership of the first Phoenicia, Phoenicia reached the zenith of her cultural brilliance from the 10th to the 8th century BC. During the 6th century, she passed under the dominion of the Chaldeans and then of the Persians. In 332 BC, Tyre was destroyed by Alexander the Great after a siege lasting 7 months. A little bit more on the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians were a people of Semitic language, closely related to the Canaanites. They displayed very little creative genius, but were remarkable adapters of the achievements of others. They produced no original art worthy of the name, and they made but slight contributions to literature. Their religion, like that of the Canaanites, was characterized by human sacrifice to the god Moloch and by licentious fertility rites. They excelled, however, in specialized manufactures and in geography and navigation. They were renowned throughout the ancient world for their glass and metal industries and for their purple dye obtained from a mollusk in the adjacent seas. They developed the art of navigation to such a stage that they could sail by the stars at night. If you remember in previous discussions, we talked about the astrolabe. But the astrolabe really wasn't improved upon much until such time as Isaac Newton came up with the sextant, which is still used today. But anyway, they developed the art of navigation to such a stage that they could sail by the stars at night. To less venturesome peoples, the North Star was known for some as the Phoenicians' Star. A company of Phoenicians is believed to have circumnavigated Africa. Where else they went is anybody's guess, I guess. The most lasting achievement of the Phoenicians, however, was the completion and diffusion of an alphabet based upon principles discovered by the Egyptians. Now listen carefully. The Phoenician contribution was the adoption of a system of signs representing the sounds of the human voice and the elimination of all pictographic and syllabic characters. The Egyptians, as we have seen, had accomplished the first of these steps, but not the second. And if you look back and you do at the development of language, and for any of you that have encyclopedias, you know, the great capital that you see at the beginning of each one of the various and sundry chapters or books in an encyclopedia always gives you a little clue as to the alphabet letter involved. The letter C came to my attention over the weekend because one of our listeners sent me an email and he was thinking about doing a intensive research on the word command. But that letter C is a very important letter. But all of these, so many of the letters that we have today, they come from the Phoenicians. Not all of them. The J, for instance, is of much later development, but nevertheless, the development of alphabet and learning how to write down the things that we think that we say was a tremendous, tremendous boon. And the Phoenicians were right in the thick of it. Continuing here, here's a summary now of all of this that we've learned up to here, up to this point, all of the Oriental despots all the way up to this time. Here's the summary that the author Edward McNall Burns writes, and we'll have to give you that as we come back on the other side. Stay with us here on our Memorial Day broadcast.
Say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules.
Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
You're now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, welcome back to our Monday, Memorial Day, May the 25th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, starting our second hour. My name is William Roberts, and we've got some rather interesting stuff going on here so far today. Went out and visited with New York, if you will, and looked at some of the blowback from all of the fraudulent misdealings that are going on in the financials, and we see that even the financial master blasters, the men behind the curtain and women as well, are taking it in the shorts, and so are all of the people in New York that have been profiteering along with this pilfering of the public treasury, if you will. Anyway, then jumping back into our history lessons, if you will, closing out a little section here on the Lydians and the Phoenicians. Where we go from here in this massive text on world civilization will be up to whatever fancy I have. I think we've fairly well covered anarchy, although there's so much more. We're going to continue to find it wherever we look in history, all the way up until today, to bury the usurper and the boys, who are a bunch of anarchists in their own right. Basically, usurpers, they're the Trojan horse inside the gate. But we'll just pick it up and keep running. I want to finish out this little bit here. This is the summary of the first major section of this book, the first 135 pages of our textbook, university textbook. But just going in here again, like most other periods in world history, the periods of empires we have studied thus far was an era of contention and strife. Nearly all of the great empires and the majority of the smaller states as well devoted their energies most of the time to policies of expansion and aggression. You see, things just continue to repeat. It sounds really trite to say it, but those who don't know their history just are doomed to repeat it. We're always dealing with these archons, always dealing with this idea of expansion and aggression. And as we continue the broadcast over the months in the future, we'll just keep having to come back and dealing with this. But I wanted to lay this historical foundation underneath our discussions, and so that we think beyond the ignorant arrogance of the present decade that oftentimes overwhelms our minds. You know, we're so caught up in the daily news, we forget that this has been happening a lot. And that the people at the top of the food chain, know this history, and they know it very, very well. Jorge Bush, the little shrub, got his degree, I think, in history, if my memory serves me correctly. Continuing here, the only notable exceptions were the Aegean and the Egyptians. But even the Egyptians in the later period of their history yielded to no one in their addiction to imperialism. The causes were largely geographic in nature. Each nation grew accustomed to the pursuit of its own interest in some fertile river valley or on some easily defended plateau. Isolation bred fear of foreigners and an incapacity to think of one's own people as members of a common humanity. Now, again, we need to understand who we're listening to, who we're reading as we go through things. I always like to do a little bit of homework on my authors before I fall in love with their points of view. And we found very little available as biographical material for Edward McNall Burns. But we did find a comment that at one time, at least, he was a member of a group that was very, very much in support of a global system. So we'll pick it up on the other side, continue our study and our research. Hope you're enjoying it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, Exposing the Secret Plans of the World's Elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for mortgage fraud examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned, once again right here on Become Vocal Local as we start our second hour of today's broadcast. We're deep into our, really back deep into our history stuff again. I love this sort of material. It's good to start the day off with something cerebral from time to time instead of the traditional pablum for breakfast. But if we can understand where we've come from in all of this and these recurring problems, these philosophical circulations or circumnabulations or whatever you want to call it, maybe we can start to cut through the garbage that we're fed on a regular basis and understand there's a bigger picture out there. It's not national hatreds and national prejudices. These things are inculcated. They're done by design. Go back and read Thomas Paine and give you more of that. It's been known for a long time. But here's they're picking up the term isolation. Isolation, again, bred fear of foreigners and an incapacity to think of one's own people as members of a common humanity. The feeling of insecurity that resulted seems to justify aggressive foreign policies, the waging of preventive wars, and the annexation of neighboring states to serve as buffers against a hostile world. Does any of that sound like modern U.S. foreign policy to you? Justify aggressive foreign policies, waging preventive wars, and the annexation of neighboring states, that would be Mexico and Canada, to serve as buffers against a hostile world. We're going to have a defense perimeter around the Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement, building a North American community. The leaves of the calendar just flip like blowing oak leaves in the fall, but everything stays the same. It seems possible to trace nearly all of the woes of the Near Orient nations, that's the Near East again. Actually, it's not only just the Near East, it's also now the Middle East, to wars of aggression and imperialist greed. What has changed about that? Wars of aggression and imperialist greed, as we see the illegitimate little sandbox known as Israel reaching out now its tentacles towards Iran. Amazing. The great British historian Arnold J. Toynbee has shown this in devastating fashion in the case of the Assyrians. He contends that it was no less true of such later people as the Spartans, the Carthaginians, the Macedonians, and the Ottoman Turks. Each made militarism and conquest its gods and wrought such destruction upon itself that when it made its last heroic stand against its enemies, it was a mere corpse in armor. Will the historians of the next decades look back at the United States and say that when the USA made its last heroic stand, it was nothing but a mere corpse in armor? Not death by foreign conquest, but national suicide was the fate which befell it. The way of the warrior brought race intolerance, a love of ease and luxury, crime and racketeering, and crushing burdens of taxation. Expansion of empire promoted a fictitious prosperity, at least for the upper classes, as we found in our news article from Nuevo Yorke. Expansion of empire promoted a fictitious prosperity, at least for the upper classes, and aroused enough envy among poorer nations to make them willing conspirators against a rich neighbor who could easily be portrayed as an oppressor. The current revolt of underdeveloped nations, which Adlai Stevenson, again, this was written in the 60s, has called the, quote, revolution of rising expectations, had its parallels far back in ancient history. And so here even our author writing this treatise, the sixth edition on the Western civilizations, last published, at least in the 1960s, this edition, he's looking at what's happening in the 60s when we went into the war with Vietnam and Cambodia and Laos and all of that. He was looking at that and the expansion of the United Nations tentacles around the world. He was looking at his own time period then, 50 years ago almost, and saying the same things I'm saying this morning. Stuff doesn't change. As long as we continue to allow ourselves to be divided by our system of government, this established two-party political system, we're just going to keep visiting history over and over and over and over again. Let's go in and find a little bit more of a parallel in history. I'm going to jump ahead almost 2,000 years. I'm jumping up to 1789 to 1799, and we'll talk a little bit more in this balance of today's broadcast about the French Revolution. Rather interesting. We're foregoing a great deal here. We'll come back through that section and look at it again. We haven't even touched Rome. Haven't talked about the Dark Ages yet or the beginning of the Enlightenment. We did touch a little bit on the Commercial Revolution where we saw the feudalism coming closer to an end. But let's touch on the French Revolution in so much as that there are a lot of similarities, things that we can see there. Today, the Third Estate is everything, the nobility, but a word, abyssize, quotation there. What is the Third Estate? What is the Third Estate? Well, it's us. It's you, it's I. And the nobility, by this time, was but a word. In other words, we were getting rid of all of the feudal lords and changing that whole process and the relationship with the church. In the rise of absolutism, the monarchs, etc. And we find ourselves just after the war for independence and the formally founding this nation, over in France with so many of the same players working their magic over there. Profound changes were wrought in the political history of the Western world in the latter part of the 18th century. This period witnessed the death throes of that particular system of government and society which had grown up during the age of the despots. In England, the system had already been largely overthrown by 1689, but in other nations of Europe it lingered on, growing more and more ossified and corrupt with the passing of the years. It flourished in every major country of Europe under the combined influence of militarism and the ambitions of monarchs to consolidate their power at the expense of the nobles. But scarcely anywhere did it exist in so abominable a form as in France during the reigns of the last three Bourbon kings. Louis XIV was the supreme incarnation of absolute rule. And his successors were no better. We'll pick it up on the other side right after this commercial intermission.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And thank you, Carlos. Wonderful fingers there, buddy. Back into France here a little bit. Why even look at the French Revolution? You know, we have everybody talking about three-cornered hats and mourners' benches and 50-caliber rifles and all that sort of stuff today. Looking back at the War for Independence and the American Revolution, which really will never end. It's always this reaching further and further and further out for more and more freedom. And less despotism and tyranny, but nevertheless, we can look at our experience separating from England 4,000 miles away and try and draw parallels from then till today. But it's better, I think, in my researched opinion, if we concentrate on something like the French Revolution, because we'll find that what French was dealing with was a multi-generational corruption within their own board and trying to figure out how they were going to deal with that, which is far different from throwing off this English tyrant. What we're dealing with here is a complete country, if you will, developed as far as it had at that time, Paris being the stronghold largely, everything else being mostly rural. But I think we can find a lot more information from studying the French Revolution as to what may transpire here. So let's continue on again. Scarcely anywhere did it exist in so abominable a form as in France during the reigns of the last three Bourbon kings. You might say in the 100-year reign of the Bush family or cartel. The stooges that they were. His successors, Louis the 14th was the supreme incarnation of the absolute rule. That may have been George Herbert Walker Bush. His successors, Louis the 15th and Louis the 16th, dragged the government to the lowest depths of extravagance and irresponsibility. You can see the parallel. Moreover, their subjects were sufficiently enlightened to be keenly aware of their disadvantages. And so we see today with the rise of the Internet and so many people having been studying this material now for 950 years, that we have a keenly or sufficiently enlightened people keenly aware of our disadvantages. For these reasons, the author McNall Burns writes, for these reasons, it's not strange that France should have been the scene of a violent upheaval to overthrow a regime which had long been hated and despised by the most intelligent citizens of the country. And we shall not go far wrong in interpreting the French Revolution as the climax of a century of slowly increasing opposition to absolutism and to the supremacy of a decadent aristocracy. So similar. The causes of the French Revolution. Let's find out a little bit about that. The causes of the French Revolution. For convenience, we can divide the causes of the French Revolution into three main classes. Again, we're dealing with the mind of this Mr. Burns and his coverage of thousands and thousands of years of history, and he is very good at this. But he rightly divides it this way. He says, for convenience, we can divide the causes of the French Revolution into three main classes. One, political. Two, economic. And three, intellectual. Naturally, this division is somewhat arbitrary, since none of these classes were entirely distinct. The intellectual causes, for example, and to some extent the political also, were largely economic in origin, and that's why we begin the broadcast with discussion of economic affairs. Even though this is really not an economic broadcast, one can hardly ignore it. Nevertheless, for the purposes of simplification, it will be best to keep these separate. One of the major political causes has already been mentioned, and this was the despotic rule of the Bourbon kings. For nearly 200 years, government in France had been largely a one-man institution. During the 14th, 15th, and 16th centuries, a kind of parliament known as the Estates General, composed of representatives of the clergy, the nobility, and the common people, had met at irregular intervals. But after 1614, it was no longer summoned. Henceforth, the king was the sole repository of sovereign power. And we can see these presidential decisions, directives, the PDDs, and the presidential executive orders along the same line, where the king is the sole repository of sovereign power. In a very real sense, the king was the state. In a very real sense, the king, or we could say the administration and the agencies, the executive department, supported as they are by the judiciary and the legislative branches, the Congress, no longer acting as a true separation of powers, but all complicit in the same pilfering of the country and the destruction of our system, we could say in a very real sense that the president is or was the state. He, the king, that is, could do almost anything in his imperious will might dictate. See some parallels here? Am I the only one? He could do almost anything his imperious will might dictate without fear of impeachment or legislative restriction of any kind. Without fear of impeachment. It's not on the table, Nancy Pelosi says. Legislative restriction? You must be kidding. No questions of constitutionality or the natural rights of his subjects need trouble him. To the hell with habeas corpus. Preventive detention for all. He could throw men into prison without a trial by means of royal orders or lettres de cachet. He could prevent any criticism of his policies by clamping a rigid censorship on the press or by restricting freedom of speech. You say the hate bill, hate crimes. It must be conceded, however, that the tyranny of the French kings has often been exaggerated. In actual practice, there was comparatively little interference with what men wrote or said, particularly during the reigns of Louis XV and Louis XVI. No action of these monarchs inhibited the mordant wit of Voltaire, or suppressed the radical books of Rousseau, or silenced the mouth of Will Roberts. Going to take a bullet, my friends, for a rope. Okay, continuing along here. No action of these monarchs inhibited the mordant wit of Voltaire. Boy, he was somebody else. Or suppressed the radical books of Rousseau. On the contrary, the attacks by these and other philosophers, and there are many voices of freedom, increased in virulence near the revolution approached. And we see that today. Talk about people waking up, so to speak, as more and more and more people access the internet and realize or recognize that something is drastically wrong. the tempest in the teapot continues to boil and boil and boil over. And more people every day join our ranks. The explanation, of course, is not to be found in any liberalism of Louis XV and his dull-witted grandson, but rather in their indifference to politics. Indifference to politics. We'll pick it up right there. Stay with us for the next half hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned, and I hope the kind of stuttering that I'm hearing in my headset is not reflected in what's going out over the airwaves. If there's anything wrong with the sound or the audio stream to y'all folks, just throw it in the chat room and let me know. But let's continue on a little bit here. So we see the first one. So much of this has to do with the monarch involved, running this up to this French Revolution. Here's the second political cause of the French Revolution was the illogical and the unsystematic character of the government. Things seem rather illogical and unsystematic to you these days. Confusion reigned in nearly every department. Haven't we heard so much about lessons learned? Oh, just a few bad apples. Well, the left hand isn't talking to the right hand. Well, we need to have the Home Department of Homeland Security because we've got all of these spooks running around in the background and they don't know how to get a hold of each other, so we'll add another 175,000, 200,000 glad handers to the government pig pile or pork barrel or hog trough, however you want to look at it. Confusion reigned in nearly every department. The political structure was the product of a long and irregular growth extending back into the times of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Back into the Middle Ages. New agencies, haven't we heard about this administrative agency rule that we're under these days? New agencies had been established from time to time to meet some particular condition, with a total disregard for those already in existence. As a result, there was much overlapping of functions, and numerous useless officials drew salaries from the public purse. It seems like almost textbook. It is a textbook, but this is the French Revolution, not America today. Conflicts of jurisdiction. We've been hearing about that, jurisdiction, subject matter authority, jurisdiction. Conflicts of jurisdiction between rival departments frequently delayed action on vital problems for months at a stretch. Almost everywhere, inefficiency, waste, and graft were the ruling qualities of the system. Even in financial matters, there was no more regularity than in other branches of public policy. Not only did the government have no budget, but accounts were seldom kept. Audit the Fed, the chief will cry. And there was no clear-cut distinction between the income of the king and the income of the state. Worse still was the fact that the collection of public revenues was exceedingly haphazard. Instead of appointing official collectors, the king employed the old Roman system of farming out the collection of taxes to private corporations and individuals, permitting them to retain as profit all that they could gouge from the people in excess of a stipulated amount. And in your county, you have a tax collector operating as an independent agent to corporation. You have a tax assessor's office operating as an independent corporation. It just goes on and on, repeats over and over again. And they gouge from the people in excess of any stipulated amount. They're all into it for retaining profits. We've heard about from the Kafra man. We've heard about all these private financial investments that they make with our tax revenue, the extortion money. As a consequence, well, nearly every province of France had its special code based upon local custom. Talk about zoning laws, the international building codes, the international property maintenance codes based on localism, or I should just say local custom. As a consequence, an act punishable as a crime in southern France, where the Roman influence was strongest, might be of no concern of the law in a central or northern province. This lack of uniformity was especially galling to the business classes, who were often involved in transactions in distant parts of the country. Probably the most decisive of the political causes was the disastrous wars into which France was plunged during the 18th century. Here we are 200 years later, and we see this being visited upon America. And as we go through this, understand that the historians, the Bushes and the others, these think tanks, they very carefully study out all of this history because they know where this goes. This program of action here leads right up to a Napoleon. And maybe they think they've got a better way of handling things than Napoleon because they've been able to study his downfall and they think they have a better last chapter, perhaps. But as these various and sundries repeat themselves today, we can be being moved into or positioned into another French Revolution. On our own shores, here we go, probably the most decisive of the political causes was the disastrous wars into which France was plunged during the 18th century. Revolutions are not made by sporadic attacks upon a system still in its prime, no matter how oppressive some of its policies may be. Here's a little wisdom. Before a great political and social upheaval, which is the way we must define a true revolution, can occur, it seems to be necessary that there shall be a near collapse of the existing order. See that happening around us now? Something must happen to produce a condition of chaos, to reveal the incompetence and corruption of the government, and to create such disgust and hardship that many of those who formerly supported the old regime shall now turn against it. As Colin Powell and Dick Cheney and Rush Limbaugh argue over what will be the Republican Party going forward, reveal the incompetence and the corruption of the government and to create such disgust and hardship that many of those who formerly supported the old regime shall now turn against it as Barry the usurper fails to produce his qualification to serve as president, flaunting it in your face, creating disgust and hardship so that you will cry out for the man on the horse. As a matter of fact, it's almost impossible to convince any of the great revolutions, conceive of any of the great revolutions of modern times, except as a consequence of long and disastrous wars. The first of the wars which prepared the ground for the French Revolution was the Seven Years' War. We hear about being in Iraq for 100 years from John McStain. The Seven Years' War, fought during the reign of Louis XV. In this struggle, France was pitted against England and Prussia, and in spite of the aid from Austria and for a time also from Russia, went down to overwhelming defeat. As a result, the French were compelled to surrender nearly all of their colonial possessions. It was natural and on the whole quite justifiable, and the blame for this catastrophe should be placed upon the incompetence of the government. Oh, lessons learned. 130 bases worldwide. The effects of this blow were made worse when Louis XVI decided in 1778 to intervene in the American War for Independence. Though France was now on the winning side, the cost of maintaining fleets and armies in the Western Hemisphere for more than 3 years virtually bankrupted the government, and how long have we been in the Near East, and how long have we been the sugar daddy for England's little creation, following on from Cadre Bouillon, that nation-state called Israel, bankrupting the government. As we shall see, it was this condition of financial helplessness in the face of an impossible burden of debt, trillions and trillions being digitized and thrown into the system, an impossible burden of debt, which led directly to the quarrel between the king and the middle class and the consequent outbreak of revolution. Oh, yeah. There's a revolution in the air, all right. Be a part of it. In turning to the economic causes of the French Revolution, we must note, first of all, that widespread suffering among the mass of the people was not one of them. The popular notion that the revolution occurred, well, we'll have to pick it up on the other side. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
And so we're back here in the last segment of today's broadcast. You know, I do kind of have a tendency to get a little deep, maybe a little bit too potent for this time of the day. I need to get my kazoo and my little cymbals, you know, and wind me up in the back, and I can stand here and tap my toe and sing songs. You know, I guess if this was an entertainment broadcast, I'd go down that venue, but I don't look at this as entertainment. Really is just an opportunity to start firing up our brain cells in the morning and wherever throughout the broadcast you come on board, it's okay. You don't have to be there at the opening bell. We're just moving through history trying to get some understanding of what has come before us, what we're facing with right now, and what may be coming down the road, because we can understand that the master blasters, the controllers of the universe, the consultancies at Tavistock and elsewhere have war-gamed this out. A thousand ways to Sunday, and we're basically going to be the recipients of their plan unless we circumvent, unless we intervene. And this is exactly how the French Revolution came about, and if we can learn anything from them, perhaps we can find some wisdom. In all of this, the popular notion that the revolution occurred because the majority of the people were starving for want of bread, and because the Queen said, "Let them eat cake," is far from historically accurate. Despite the loss of her colonial empire, France, on the eve of the revolution, was still a rich and prosperous nation. For more than two centuries, her bourgeoisie had been fattening on the profits of expanding trade, while her lower classes had been getting at least some of the crumbs that fell from the tables of the rich. Even the poorest of the poor in this country are vastly in better condition than the poorest of Zimbabwe or Rhodesia. Indeed, it is the opinion of modern scholars that the French peasants in the 18th century were better off than the rural folk in any other country of Europe except England. That their condition was actually improving is evidenced by the decline of serfdom during the century preceding the revolution and by the fact that a steadily increasing proportion of the peasants were becoming owners of land. And as we turn through the last 20 years, and we see that everybody that could fog a mirror with their breath was given the opportunity to step up to the plate as a landowner on the public dime and on the public dole and now being bailed out to the tunes of billions and billions served. You could even say that our peasant folk have steadily been increasing in proportion, becoming landowners or owners of land. Of course, we don't own our land in this country. We rent it from the state, of course, and the county, evidenced by the fact that you're paying taxes on it endlessly, though it's supposedly something you own, and that if you don't keep the lawn mowed, they'll come along and lay a heavy fine on you for doing your property harm or something. The fact cannot be emphasized too strongly that the French Revolution was launched as a middle-class movement. And as we talked about the rise of the commercial revolution, we discovered this new class, this middle class coming on. The merchants, the entrepreneurs, the artisans, who then created the parliament, which in itself is a word study. Fascinating word, parliamentarianism. But these people did not make the revolution. They merely participated in it after it had been started by others. And who was doing the starting? Well, we'll find out more about that perhaps tomorrow. The fact cannot be emphasized too strongly that the French Revolution was launched as a middle-class movement. Its original objectives were primarily for the benefit of the bourgeoisie. Since the leaders of this class needed the support of a larger percentage of the people, they naturally took some notice of the grievances of the peasants, but the poor proletarian were almost ignored. What then were the real economic causes? Perhaps we should place at the head of the list the rise of the middle class to a position of extraordinary power and prestige. The emergence of a new economic group with a sense of grievances and a consciousness of its own strength and importance seems to be a necessary condition to the outbreak of any revolution. So many of these folk in Congress are in the middle to the upper band of the middle class, certainly not in the upper class. You have to almost be a senator to fall into that bailiwick or have been there for since time began. But these people are really largely middle class, bourgeoisie. The meeting in New York that went on during the same time that the Bilderbergers were meeting was really some of the upper crust with Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and some of the others meeting on one part of the planet, while over in Greece the Bilderbergers were meeting on the other side. And one side are the great heroes of the bourgeoisie. On the other are the remainders, if you will, of the black nobility of Europe. Queen Beatrice and others. Anyway, dropping down a little bit further here. During the years of prosperity preceding the revolution in France, the French bourgeoisie had grown to be the dominant economic class. Aside from the land, nearly all of the productive wealth was in its hands. It controlled the resources of trade, manufacturing, and finance. Moreover, its members appear to have been growing richer year by year. Hence the article we started out with this morning talking about those poor folks in New York City from Wall Street no longer being able to afford their $30,000 Black American Express credit card bills. They couldn't run up the $30,000 tabs anymore. Oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. No more $135 haircuts. In 1789, the foreign commerce of France reached the unprecedented total of 1,153 million francs. But the chief effect of this rising prosperity was to sharpen bourgeois discontent. No matter how much money a merchant, manufacturer, banker, or lawyer might acquire, he was still excluded from political privileges. Of course, in modern America, in the fulfillment of Auguste Comte's Republic of the West, we now ruled by an appointed dictator, this time Barry the Usurper, appointed by the captains of finance and industry, and supported in all that he does by a cadre of super social scientists, lawyers, manufacturers, bankers, and merchants ruling the world through their appointed dictator. He had almost no influence at the court. He could not share in the highest honors and except in the choice of a few petty local officers. He could not even vote. Besides, he was looked down upon as an inferior by the idle and frivolous nobility. Not so any longer, Dorothy. Occasionally, some snobbish count or duke would consent to the marriage of his son to the daughter of a rich burgher, a Bilderberger. But one who did so often made a practice of referring to the marriage as manuring his land, sullying himself with those Gentiles, goyim. As the middle class rose in affluence and in consciousness of its own importance, its members were bound to resent such attempts at social discrimination, but above all, it was the demand of the commercial, financial, and industrial leaders for political power commensurate with their economic position which made the bourgeoisie a revolutionary class. Who will be the revolutionaries today? The bourgeoisie? The remnants of the nobility and their downline and prodigy? The downtrodden, the proletariat, who will stand up now? A demand for political power was not the only consequence of the growing prosperity of the middle class. There was also an increasing clamor for the abandonment of mercantilist policies, and we'll study more about mercantilism as we go along. But we found that mercantilism was the order of the day in the rise of the commercial revolution, and then came the industrial revolution, and then came the end of the broadcast. Folks, have a great day. Take a nice day off. We'll see you back here again tomorrow. Till then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Right, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Right Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.